As far as I know, there's not a verse of Scripture that talks about our subject this morning. I mentioned that last night, and Brother Ray Nelson said, "You mean it's unscriptural?" And I said, "No, it's non-scriptural. Our subject is the front seat." Now, the Bible does talk about the chief seat and the uppermost seat and the highest seat in the synagogue. But all three of those tend to suggest the choice seat, and I'm just convinced that that's parallel to our back seat and not our front seat if it's a choice seat. Though there's nothing said in the Bible about the front seat, I want us to think of it this morning in the traditional way that we talk about it and look at it in light of some biblical principles that are given. The front seat has come to be used to symbolize the center of our responses to the gospel invitation of Jesus Christ. Coming to the front seat during a service is not the only way that one can respond to the invitation, but it is a way. And it has come to the point that usually when those of us who preach come to the end of a sermon and remind us of the invitation of Jesus Christ, that we will encourage people to come to the front seat or to come forward and let their wishes be known. Now, the principles associated with this are certainly taught in the Bible. For example, in James 5:16, we're told, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed." In some way, there is the need of the communication of our faults and our needs with each other. In Ephesians 4 at verse 12, one of the purposes of the organization of the church was for the edifying of the saints. That means encouraging one another. Later on, four verses later in that chapter, he says that what we're to do is to make increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Again, here is the idea of mutual encouragement and edifying. Romans 14:19 says, "Let us follow after the things that make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another." And in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 24 and 25, in a setting where the body is being discussed, it talks about the members of the body having care and concern for each other and sharing with one another. Now, I suggest to you this morning that it is in the setting of those principles that what takes place on the front seat in our services is understood. For a few minutes this morning, let's think about some of the traditions that we have. What does not or cannot take place on the front seat? What does or can take place on the front seat? And some conclusions or some concerns about that. Tradition has led us to encourage people to come forward to express their desire to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Last Sunday morning at the 8 o'clock service, Alan Scholl came forward to the front seat and then stood before the congregation and indicated his faith in Jesus Christ by his confession and then was immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. In Acts, the second chapter, 3,000 responded to the invitation of Christ. I don't know exactly how they went about that response. There was evidently a great assembly. There would have needed to be some way that those 3,000 could have each one personally indicated a desire to obey the gospel. I don't know whether they came forward out of the audience, whether the apostles were mingled in among the audience and received that information. I could not take the Bible and show you exactly what happened, except I know they received the word. And I know they were baptized, and that necessarily means there had to be some kind of communication to let their desires be made known. In Acts the 18th chapter and verse 8, it says that those at Corinth hearing believed and were baptized. Now there was some kind of an assembly in which the gospel was taught. They heard. The result was that they believed and they responded to the invitation. I don't know exactly how they went about that. I doubt that they had a group of seats like we have. At least at that time, there was no indication of a church building as such. But they were meeting somewhere in an assembly, and in some way, they responded positively to the invitation of Jesus Christ. And so when we encourage people to come to the front seat during a service, that's exactly what we're doing. We're encouraging them to accept the invitation and respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about the idea of one being restored. A soul returned in James 5, 19 and 20. Restore such a one, Galatians 6 and verse 1. We encourage people who need to be restored to come forward during an invitation song, to come to the front seat. That may be someone who has neglected their service as a Christian. This morning at the 8 o'clock service, Tammy Chandler Bailey came forward, handed me a card on which she had written, "I have not been attending the services of the church like I should. I want forgiveness. I want the prayers of the church that I may start living as I should again." Well, she had been out of the services for a while, and there is a sense in which she was restored to her faithfulness. She came to the front seat to do that. In recent services, we've simply announced and asked people to stand in the audience who had indicated a desire to ask for the prayers of the church. A person doesn't have to come forward to the front seat, but that has been a means, that's a method of helping us to know the desires of that person. I could here again not prove that anything like that happened in Bible times, but when you look at Luke 15 with the three stories Jesus told of the coin, the sheep, and the prodigal son to illustrate the idea of one coming back home, you'll notice in all those cases that there was some kind of a coming together to rejoice about what had taken place. When the shepherd got back with his sheep, he invited his friends in and they rejoiced. Same thing with the woman and the coin, and there's an indication of some kind of a party of rejoicing when the prodigal son came home. Now, if that's going to take place, there has to be some method of communications relative to the response to the invitation of Christ. And we see that happening on a regular basis. And though it may be to some extent tradition to ask people to come to the front seat, it at least accomplishes what the Bible teaches. Sometimes people will come to the front seat to indicate a desire to place membership. That does not happen much in our situation. Usually, again, we'll ask somebody to stand and mention that they've moved into the community or they're attending here now, and as faithful Christians want to be recognized as an active part of the congregation under the leadership of our elders. But it could be done by coming to the front seat. I've had people do that many times down through the years. I know this, the principle is there. After Paul had obeyed the gospel and went to Jerusalem, they did not know really that they could accept him, that he was sincere. Barnabas came along and recommended him. He became a part of their work. In Acts the 11th chapter, two chapters later, Paul went and got Barnabas and brought him to Antioch, and they became a part of that congregation and preached there for a period of time. In a sense, they placed membership, if you please. Or at least became an active part of that local congregation. I don't know whether they had an assembly and came forward to an invitation song. Probably did not. But at least the principle is there. And sometimes, folks, people respond and come to the front seat that do not fit either one of these three categories. They're not coming to be baptized. They're not coming to be restored because they're already some of the more faithful members that we have in the work, already a part of the congregation. They just simply come forward during the invitation song and ask for prayers for strength. And when I search the Bible, I find that that principle is there also. Paul and Barnabas were getting ready to go out on the first missionary journey. In Acts 13, the Bible says they prayed for them and laid their hands on them. You might debate whether the laying on of hands was of a miraculous nature or just simply a greeting or an encouragement as they sent them out, but there's no debating about their praying for them. Now, someone maybe comes to the front seat here during a service as they're getting ready to go on a campaign or go out to work in the Lord's kingdom somewhere else and ask for our prayers. That's certainly according to the Word of God. And where there have been a need for strength and a need for help, where a person is hurting. And the longer I work here in this particular work, the more I realize how much that's involved with all of us, and maybe especially with our university students who are facing sometimes difficult times and difficult situations ahead of them. And they simply need to come and ask for prayers for strength. The Bible teaches us to pray for one another. And certainly that can be done as we come to the front seat or to the front of the auditorium and to let our wishes be known. So although these things are traditional, they fit into the principles of God's Word. Now, I want to be sure that we understand that that's not the only way. Last night, about 10 o'clock, Adam Covington called me, and Adam had been studying whether or not he'd been scripturally baptized and wanted to be sure. The Nelsons and I met Adam and Adrian here at the building. Adam was baptized last night about 10 o'clock. That's just as great as if one came forward at the service. You see, the important thing is to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ, but this is a method. Some time ago, I was visiting over at the North Henderson Church. When the invitation song was completed, I noticed there were two people who remained standing. I didn't know exactly what was going on, but for one time in my life, remained quiet and listened. And in a few minutes, the preacher asked each one of these two why they were responding. And each one of them said, "This is why," and then we had prayer. I'd never seen that before. But it's just as effective as if they had come to the front seat. They accomplished the same thing. The idea is that this may be a traditional way, but it is a way, and maybe in other ways, some way, we need to respond to the Lord's invitation. And the front seat in our assemblies has come to be a good means, a way that we accomplish that. Now, having said that, let me suggest to you some things that do not take place on the front seat. I think sometimes we misunderstand it. The front seat in a church building is not a mourner's bench. Many of you are aware of some religious organizations that have a mourner's bench where a person goes forward and kneels at that mourner's bench and prays through until supposedly salvation comes down. Now that is unscriptural. That violates the teaching of God's Word. The front seat is not a place where the complete process of salvation takes place. For example, we mentioned the one who came, confessed the name of Jesus Christ, then went and was baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Salvation in its totality does not take place on the front seat. We want to be careful that we don't ever look at it in that way. Number two, the front seat is not the place to take care of our own private problems between us and God. It may very well be that we tend to overlook the importance of the private closet. Boys and girls, when I say closet, I'm not talking about where we hang our clothing. I'm talking about a private place in the intimacy of our own homes or something like that. Jesus said in Matthew 6, don't pray just to be seen of men, but enter into your own private closet and pray to God in secret, and he who hears in secret will reward thee openly. There may be many things that bother us that we need to take care of in our own relationship to God. You see, if I'm a Christian, I have the right to pray to God. I don't need the confessional idea in order to pray for my mistakes, if they're mistakes that are between me and God. If I have sinned in my mind, had thoughts that I should not have had, I don't have to come to the front seat and confess those to you. I can, in the privacy of my own closet, pray to God. So the front seat is not the place to take care of private problems between each Christian and God. Number three, the front seat is not the place where we can take care of all the changes that need to take place. Sometimes there need to be changes made before we come to the front seat, and sometimes changes made after we leave the front seat, sometimes both of them. For example, in Matthew 5:24, he said, if you bring your offering to the altar, this under the old law, but representing the presence and worship of God, and you remember that your brother has aught against you, leave your offering there and go and talk to your brother and straighten that out, and then come back and offer your offering to God. Well, now think about that principle. If we've wronged other people, we need to take care of that with them. And that can't be done altogether on the front seat. It may mean going to someone. It may mean saying, I'm sorry personally to someone. It may mean restoring something if we've taken something from somebody. And then we don't make all the changes that may need to be made in future life just on the front seat. If we truly repent, we make the desire to make those changes there. But then it's on Sunday afternoon and Monday morning and Thursday night of the next week that we may be making some of those changes that we've decided to make and that we have to make in order to get our lives in sync with the way a Christian ought to live. So not all changes that need to be taken and made in our lives can be made on the front seat. The determination for those changes can. And then we need to get up from the front seat and go from the services with a determination to live like we ought to. It's also true that we cannot take care of all the acceptance of God's forgiveness just on the front seat. I'm convinced that one of our biggest problems is not asking for God's forgiveness, but accepting God's forgiveness. And especially on a continuing basis. I've had the experience of someone coming forward in a service and mentioning a specific sin and asking us to pray for it. And 2 weeks later, that same person comes back to that same front seat and mentions that same specific sin, not one of like kind, the same specific sin, and says, I want you to pray for God to forgive it. Now, if God forgives, if we sincerely obey and God forgives, God forgets. And we've got to, when we leave the front seat and go out in our lives day by day, accept that forgiveness. That may be one of our biggest problems. Failing to forgive ourselves and accepting the forgiveness of God. So there are some things that don't altogether take place on the front seat. Some things before, some things after. It's a part of the process of obedience to God. What does and what can take place on the front seat? Number one, it's a place and an opportunity for the communication of desires. I want to be baptized into Christ. I want to repent of my sins and be restored and ask for forgiveness and prayer. I want to let the congregation know and the elders know that I want to be a part of the work and actively involved. I'm facing a difficult situation, and I need the prayers of the 500 or 600 people that are together. And that can be one of the great strengths that's involved in knowing that there are hundreds of people praying for us as we're facing a time of illness or maybe a specific problem on the job or in school or going to do a specific work in a gospel meeting or a campaign or something. And so the front seat becomes a means of expressing to those whom we love and who love us our desires and our needs. It's a place of communication. Number two, it's a place where we can receive strength and mutual encouragement. Many a one of us this morning can remember when we've responded to the Lord's invitation and asked for specific needs and then leave and feel that there is a strength that we receive from God and from each other in mutual encouragement. Many times after the service is over, one who has responded will have several people come up and give a word of encouragement. We can find strength, and we need to find strength in times such as that. When we are hurting, to know that others care for us and share with us is one of the great benefits that we have in Christianity. Then I believe the front seat can become a place of relief, where we can, in a sense, lay our burdens down and get rid of them. Now, a lot of things, as we said, are not accomplished on the front seat, but there are some things that can be. And we're using the front seat as the center of our assembly and our worship and our service to God and encouragement to each other. One fellow I heard of who had a very difficult job and a lot of burdens and problems with his job, was known to be very happy and full of joy when he was with his family and home. And the preacher asked him one day, he said, "How is it you can go to work, you have all this stress and all these problems, and yet when you come home, you act as if you had none?" He took the preacher to the front door and he said, "You see that bush?" "Yes." He said, "That's my burden bush." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "When I come home from work and as I get ready to go in the front door, I just put all my burdens on that bush. And then in the morning when I come back out, I pick them up and take them with me. I wish I could learn that lesson 100%. I think he's got something there. And I believe that there is a sense when a person responds, comes to the front seat, or in some way lets their desires be made known, where there's a burden on their heart and in their life, and they know God forgives, and they know they have people who love them that will forgive and strength, that there is a sense in which they can lay that burden down. Or maybe it would be more scriptural and better to say, cast it on the Lord, for he cares for you. And cast it on one another, because we bear one another's burdens. Galatians chapter 6. I think that's one of the things that can happen on the front seat. And then because of the three things that we've just mentioned, there's a sense in which when one comes to the front seat, he is able to develop a stronger feeling of self-esteem and self-respect. You know, when we get involved in sin, if we have a conscience at all, we begin to feel guilty, and sometimes we get down on ourselves. And yet when we respond to the Lord's invitation, whatever the need is, and we lay things open before God and before one another, and we truly believe that our sins are forgiven and we're helping one another, then we can leave and have a better feeling about ourselves, that we are made in the image of God, that we are important to Him, and we're important to each other. I believe these are the things that happen on the front seat, or whatever the circumstances may be when we respond positive to the Lord's invitation. Having mentioned tradition, what doesn't happen and what does happen, let me share with you three concerns that I have. And these are sort of conclusions of what we've said. Number one, we need to be sure that we don't let the front seat become commonplace and a response be nothing more than a ceremony. There are people who respond just over and over and over and over. Now, I don't want to judge their hearts, but it seems sometimes that it can almost get to be commonplace in a ceremony. Let's be careful about that. When I left Fried Hardeman in 1960 and started preaching at All Good just out of Cookeville, Tennessee, first Sunday I was there, when I walked out of the pulpit, a fellow came forward and we had prayer. That Sunday night, the same fellow came forward, and we had prayer. And after twice, I asked the elders, "What's going on?" And they said, "Well, this fellow is not really accountable. He doesn't understand what's involved in the teaching of the Bible, but he comes forward at every service." It concerned me from the impression that it would leave to visitors, maybe not helping them to be taught what's involved in response to the invitation. We had two rows of seats in the auditorium. The front seat on either side was about that much shorter than the second seat. This fellow always came in and sat down on that second seat where there was nothing in front of him for 2 years. When I walked out of the pulpit, I walked down just as close to him as I could. It's the only person I ever tried to keep from coming forward. And he would just sit down. Nothing was ever said. It accomplished the problem, or solved the problem, in that did not leave the wrong impression. We were convinced that he was not accountable to God anyway. Now, just going through the motion of going forward or coming to the front seat is not what's involved. But in the second place, I'm concerned that we may sometimes be too judgmental of those who do come to the front seat. Somebody responds, and I begin to think, "Well, I wonder what terrible sin he's done. I wonder if he's been or did or, you see." That's not good. On the other hand, if someone responds and expresses his desire to make things right in a way that it tends to cover what has been done that's wrong, if I'm aware of something that he's done that's wrong, I ought to forgive him. If there's any indication that that person is repenting of anything that I know that's been amiss in that person's life, I need to forgive, not be judgmental, not be imaginative of what he might or might not have done, but listen to what he says. and help to give the strength that is needed. We need to be careful that the front seat doesn't become a place of ceremony, and we need to be careful that we are not too judgmental of those who do respond. And of all the things associated with this subject, the one thing that concerns me more than anything else is the fact that some don't come to the front seat who need to, or in some way let their wishes be made known to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ. You come into the building outside of Christ, you sit and listen to the lesson, you listen to all that goes on in worship, turn around and walk out of the building, still in the devil's kingdom. There's where the problem is. When if you would just walk to the front seat, or in some way let your desires be made known and let us assist you, being baptized into Christ for the remission of sin, before this next hour is up, you could be in Christ. Or you come to the service and you know that you've been negligent, or you know you've done some things that have not been favorable to the church and to Christ, and you just sit there. When the service is over, you turn around and walk back out in the same condition when the front seat and what it represents. I'm not just talking about the seat. What it represents is here. The forgiveness of your sins, the invitation from Christ who walked to the cross to die for you is here, and you turn your back upon it. That's the greatest concern that I have, is about those who do not come to the front seat or in some way let their desires be made known to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when all is said and done, that's all that matters anyway. And so if you're not a Christian or a wayward child of God or in any way have needs, we encourage you to come to the front seat. Together we stand and sing.
Just Savior is waiting to give.